What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Ask D. Mace in 30 minutes. So get those questions in for D. Mace. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll take your calls and your texts. So earlier this week on Radio Row, I believe it was on Wednesday, we got word that Brock Bowers on with Mike Florio and Chris Sims on Pro Football Talk said, yeah, I want to get drafted by the Titans. Jared followed up with him and said, yeah, the Southeast is cool. Will Levis, he's balling. So Brock Bowers wanted to play for the Titans. And we heard from yet another name that I know Titans fans have been salivating over. And that's T. Higgins. T. Higgins, of course, Cincinnati wide receiver. Brian Callahan obviously knows what makes T. Higgins tick. He's from East Tennessee. T. Higgins was asked by the Sick Podcast. It's a Titans podcast. Asked by the Sick Podcast on Radio Row in Las Vegas. Hey, what do you think about playing for the Titans? This was T. Higgins on Radio Row.
To you to play with him again in Tennessee, the home where everything started, and you won Mr. Football over there.
It would be good. You know, going back home, to family, and then being able to play for a coach that I already been under, you know, so it would be ideal.
So I know that I saw it on Twitter. It would be ideal.
Thank you for pointing
that
out.
Interesting word choice.
That's what I was thinking.
I know that there were a ton of Titans fans on Twitter because I saw it yesterday. Bring him home. Bring him home. Got all excited about that. I will ask a question. Mm-hmm. What if let me just pick a random team off the top of my head. The Browns. A Browns podcaster went up to T. Higgins and said, hey, do you want to play in Cleveland? Yeah, sure. Why not? What are the odds? You know, is he going to tell anyone, hey, I don't want to play there? No, I'm good. No, thanks.
Mm-hmm. I think he would say, yeah. I mean, looking at Cleveland and what they did last season, look at that defense, you would say, yeah. Why wouldn't you say yes?
And obviously the connections are not there
exactly.
in Cleveland or any other team in the National Football League. The obvious connection with Brian Callahan mm-hmm. exists with the Titans. The obvious connection of where he's from is there. I know that so many people get so excited over anything T. Higgins related. I can't get overly excited about it.
I think it's legit that he has an interest mm-hmm. right now, whether you'd go as far as to take him at his word that it would be quote ideal. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I think that this, like we asked the question, mm-hmm. is it significant that Brock Bowers said, yeah, I'd like to play for the Titans? I don't know the answer in that situation. But for a potential free agent, and I look at T. Higgins as certainly, you know, he's going to have max one more year with the Bengals. Mm-hmm. So he's either going to be a free agent at the end of next year or something, he's going to be made available in some form this year, right? I think I'm paying much more attention to that. Like, it's verification. So my angle, if I'm the Titans, is I kind of know that he's interested.
Yeah.
Right? There's a lot. We've got his home state, not far from where he grew up, and you've got a coach that, you know, he's comfortable with. So that's a lot to entice somebody, right? You know it's a fit.
Right.
So how do I angle that and pay as little as possible, right? How do I get him for a bargain? Knowing how do I use that to my advantage? That would be the angle I would be taking uh-huh. if I'm Rand Carthon and the Titans brass. And I'll give you an example. And, you know, it's a mixed bag how it turned out, right? But Matt Duchene, mm-hmm. it was kind of known in hockey circles that he had an interest. He likes to play the guitar. He loves country music. He had an interest in Nashville. He put that out there for years before he hit the market. And so there were a couple times where the trade winds were blowing. But I think the Titans, or at the time, the Predators said, well, he's going to be a free agent here soon. Why would we give up a lot when if he hits the market, we know we're going to have a really good shot at him? Mm-hmm. And that's how they played it. And maybe they called around on trades, but they would have had to give up too much to get him. Now, of course, as it turned out, how did it turn out for the Predators, Matt Duchene? A mix at best.
Had some good, had some bad.
And here's the other part of it is they kind of paid top dollar on the free agent market for Duchene, and they didn't really get a discount, right? So, I keep that in mind when I hear somebody like T. Higgins. Like, he's sending signals.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't have to say anything on that. But he's sending signals that, yeah, I see the Titans as a fit. So how do you play that game without tampering or anything like that? But how do you position yourself if you really want him for can you get him? But can you get him at a price that you're not like jumping in there and saying, we'll give you the first round pick and we'll pay whatever you want to, because he's not that good of a player. But I feel like that with Matt Duchene. Like, he's a difference maker, but he's got to be in the right spot, right? And you can't overpay.
And I think that's a very good point that you pointed out. It's important to distinguish free agency versus whatever situation T. Higgins can find himself in with the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, let's go back to DeAndre Hopkins, right? T. Hop could have gone wherever he wanted. Wherever was interested, he could have said, oh, okay, I'll follow the money or I'll follow the Super Bowl contender. And you really kind of had to, for lack of a better word, recruit DeAndre Hopkins because he was a free agent. If that was the same situation with T. Higgins, then this would be a completely different story, saying that being in Tennessee would be ideal. Well, he's a free agent. He can come here if he wants. Could he maybe take a hometown discount? But he probably, more likely than not, is not going to be a free agent. I don't think Cincinnati's going to let him walk for nothing. So more than likely, you're going to have to give up something for T. Higgins if you want him this year. If you're willing to wait and take the risk on missing out on T. Higgins to wait for him to be a free agent, which I think we can all probably agree he's probably going to be a free agent next year, then that would be a risk that you're willing to take if you don't want to give up the draft capital. But that's important to point out, is probably not going to be a free agent. He's probably not going to get to choose where he ends up. That if he is on a different team next year, that's the Bengals' decision. That's not T. Higgins' decision.
No, I think everything is T. Higgins' decision after this season.
I'm saying this offseason.
Oh, this offseason.
Next year, if he is a free agent, yeah, totally his decision.
But this year, you know, if I'm the Titans, I wouldn't touch it. Why would I touch it? Because I think T. Higgins is a damn good player, but I don't know if can he carry your receiving core the whole season. This is where, you know, Brian and Rand, if indeed they want to breach that sort of conversation, this is where they got to sit down and talk about this, because everything is fine and dandy when you have a legitimate one and your two is balling. We ran into this in 2004. It's cool, but then when you make that decision to give away that one and you expect that two to be that one, sometimes it don't work out. Or you say, you know what? We want that guy. He can be a one. You bring him to your team, he still ends up being a two. And now you've not only given up draft picks for him, but you had to pay him. And he's a two. So I still got to go out and get a one, because we don't have a one.
Because paying a two like a one doesn't make
you a one.
Exactly.
It doesn't make you a one. My thing is, if I'm the Titans, I wouldn't, unless it was a deal that was beneficial to us as a team, I wouldn't touch it, because he's going to be a free agent next year anyway. So you would probably have a better shot at getting him next year than this year, from the standpoint of you don't have to give up anything next year but money. And he's not coming for a discount, people.
Yeah,
he's not.
He's got market value.
He's not coming for a discount.
That was the case with Duchene.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. So that's exactly how the Predators played the Duchene.
Yeah, just
they could have traded
season.
For him earlier. Yeah. They knew he wanted to come and they could have signed him. But at the end of the day, look, it was what it was when they signed him, but at least they didn't give up a lot of assets to
assets
get him,
for him
and then pay him.
Right. Exactly.
That would have been tough to live.
I am anti-picks and money, and that's what T. Higgins
And that's what you would have to do
so you gotta
this
wait.
Season.
You might have to wait a year. Yeah.
And then you would have to get him. You would give up picks somewhere between a third and a fifth round. And then not only that, you got to pay him. And then not only that, you got to structure your passing game around him, because why? You gave up the picks and you got to pay him the money.
And I don't think they're giving him up for a fourth or a fifth.
No, if I'm Cincinnati, I wouldn't.
If a fourth is your best option, mm-hmm. If I'm Cincinnati, I would say, okay, thank you.
Yeah, because we only got to pay. Got to pay him 20 million or 21 million for one season to be our two. To them, that's probably nothing. It's like we just run it back with the same crew. We got our quarterback back healthy. Let's see what we can do. Now, next year, more than likely, he's going to be looking for another team.
And that's what I would be curious about. If the Bengals tag him and then say, all right, let's see what we could get for him. Mm-hmm. I wonder what the market turns out to be, because if everybody had the cap space and the need, then you'd probably have two or three teams calling, and you could get teams competing, and then your return is better. Maybe it does get up mm-hmm. closer to a first-round pick. But if a lot of teams look around and say what the Titans are saying, or see what the Titans are seeing, is, okay, do I give up the assets now and beat everybody to the punch? Is it worth that? Or should I just wait a year when he's likely to be a free agent, and then we can go compete just with dollars and not dollars and draft picks, et cetera.
He got hurt last year.
It's hard
year,
to know. How many teams will be out there saying, yeah, we want him. Mm-hmm. We want him, and we'll give up big assets for him now. I don't know. I don't know what that number looks like.
It has to be a desperate team. A team that thinks they are maybe one or two offensive players away from really getting over that hump. You know, I say, for instance, a team like the Detroit Lions. They could probably use a T. Higgins, you know. I don't know, Baltimore. What's another team? Depending on what the Chargers do with their
Depending on the Stephon Diggs situation in Buffalo.
Buffalo, what they do. Ooh. So they're going to be
Diggs is an
Chicago needs another receiver. So you're going to – if this is the game that's going to be played this offseason in regards to Cincinnati and T. Higgins, I'm sure there will be other suitors. But to me, the Titans can't seem that desperate. Now, if that was Ja'Marr Chase, Jefferson, guys that are bona fide, flat out number one guys, then okay, we could talk. Let's talk about it. But then,
if Ja'Marr Chase were on the market, I would trade Jeffrey Simmons.
Don't be surprised if Justin Jefferson is on the market next year.
You think the Vikings would let him walk?
It may not be up to the Vikings. I think he gets. No, he came out the year after Chase, didn't he, or a year before?
No, he was the year before. He was 2020.
Well, they franchised him. Did they franchise him this past season? Because they were working on a new deal for him, but never could get it going.
They may have tagged him. I frankly do not know, because he was 20, and then 21, 22, 23. This would have been his fourth year. So they'll either have to tag him or exercise the fifth-year option.
I think they exercised the fifth-year option, which would be this season, right?
This upcoming season.
Yes, that's correct.
This upcoming season. So after this season.
UFA is what it says on
the contract. Yeah, he'd be unrestricted free agent. So he's going to be the biggest name on the market.
So this summer is a massive deal.
But then
so this
don't
summer
know
will tell us a lot.
Exactly.
Because this is when, if you're the Vikings, you got to try to do it now as mm-hmm. opposed to wait. Because the longer you wait, the closer he is to saying, well, let's just see what's out there.
And I think he's going to want to test the market.
I see that, D-Mace, because if you look at their wide receiver they just got this past season from USC.
Addison, yeah.
Yeah, he balled out when Jefferson uh-huh. wasn't there. Then you also got, what's his name, the wide tight end.
Tight end. Hockenson?
Yeah, T.J. Hockenson. Yeah. So you have those guys, the 1-2 tandem.
Those guys aren't Justin Jefferson.
No, they're not Justin Jefferson. But because Justin – he wants to play with Kirk Cousins. That's the way he made it seems. Kirk may not be there, so they're going to be looking for a quarterback. He's not going to want to, unless you got a veteran quarterback that has proven himself in this league, or you go out here and get one of these, you know, studs at quarterback, he's not going to want to sit around for another 2 or 3 years playing for an average team, you know? He's done that with Minnesota Vikings for the last 4 or 5 years. So to me, he's going to be the biggest name on the market. So if you're going to go after the receiver next year, that's the guy you go after. Now, you're going to have a bidding war with a lot of other people, mm-hmm. but he's going to end up having the most lucrative contract
in regards
to receivers ever.
He's going to reset the market.
Yeah, he's going to reset the market. So
he could get close to 40.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt it. But, you know, you look at him and then you look at T. Higgins.
That's crazy.
But that's where the money's going, especially for a guy like him.
But that was quarterback money like two years ago. Yeah. And now it's going to be receiver money. That is absolutely insane.
Yeah, so if I'm the Titans, I mean, do you go? I would kick the tires on T. Higgins this offseason, yeah. See what they're asking for.
Right. You learn, you get as much info exactly. as you can on what it's
going to
take.
But then after that, totally. If it's a little bit too rich for my blood, I'm like, no, I just wait until next year when he's a unrestricted free agent. And then we have a better chance at getting him to come here then rather than trying to, you know, pull strings and make things fit and give up picks that we don't need to be giving up.
Yeah, I'm not willing to sell the farm for T. Higgins. No. He's a great player. And, of course, you've got a head coach that knows how to use him. But if you're going to have to give picks and pay him, not just the tag this year, mm-hmm. but re-signing him next year, and I really don't even know what T. Higgins truly is.
Well, they would have to sign him this year. If you trade for him, you got to sign him. It's no putting a franchise tag. Because why are you putting a franchise tag on him? Because he becomes a free agent the next year anyway.
Of course you're going to sign him. I'm just saying that you're going to have to pay him this year and then re-sign him again to that next contract.
No. What I'm saying is this. If you sign him here, you got to sign a whole new contract because he hits the market again.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you.
Uh-huh. But you want to sign it. Say if the Titans get him this year.
Uh-huh.
They got to sign him to a long-term deal. This offseason. It can't be next year because next year he's a free agent. He can go anywhere he wants to. So you got to get him and sign him to a four-year contract. You have to get him and sign him to that four-year contract.
That
will kick in next year.
Yeah,
so he doesn't hit the market.
Yes. Exactly. I think we're saying the same thing.
Okay. Can you move
you're
going
to have to pay him a lot.
Basically.
Can you move the cap hit this year or do you have to pay him the tag number this year?
You'd pay him the tag number this year.
You would, no matter what.
Yeah.
You couldn't renegotiate that to a new deal?
No.
The tag is fully guaranteed. Because the Bengals.
I think they could tie it in.
But you could still rework it, right?
I think they could tie it in with the contract as a whole. Because if Cincinnati wanted to do a contract with him, they can sign him to the tag, but then work on a contract for long term. The tag is just to get him staying there.
Yeah.
Right.
And then typically they want to work out a deal before the season starts.
Yeah.
So if they do, then say if it's $100 million. Well, the bulk of the $20 million will be added into the $100 million, but the contract really doesn't kick in until the next following season.
It's like Jeffrey Simmons' contract. Yeah. They had the full total number. Mm-hmm. Of the new contract, but it was also on top of the deal that he was playing on this past season.
Yeah. And I have seen teams, and I'll give you another hockey reference, different system, but the same principle. They traded for another infamous guy in Predators history, Kyle Turris, right?
Yeah.
At the time, they thought was the right number two center to go with what their need was. And before they made the trade, they had talked to his people, which you're allowed to do, and say, if we do this, will you sign here long term?
Mm-hmm.
And he did. So I think you could probably do that, right?
Yeah.
You could say, all right, T, we're thinking about trading for you. Would you sign this deal, that deal? And then whatever the semantics are, whether it's the Bengals that sign him to that deal or it's a sign and trade, whatever it is, you know going in what you're paying him going forward if you're going
to
give up assets for him, right? It's already a done deal. You have to do that, right?
Yeah.
You have to have that insurance.
Yeah, I think that I don't know if you could trade for him and then say, all right, T, what do you want?
There has to be insurance.
Yeah.
That
and Predators fans are going, I wish they would have done that
trade,
with
Turris. Yeah, either it's a sign and trade or it's a, okay, we worked out a deal with his agent. We're going to make the trade and then we're going to sign this new deal for you moving forward. So
it's just not – I don't see it being a good move.
Not this season anyway. Next season I think it would be better because you don't have to – you're going to have to pay him, yes, but you don't have to give up assets to get him.
And I also don't think that if you did sign or trade for T. Higgins, that doesn't solve all of your problems. Like, you still have mm-hmm. a desperate need at receiver.
Yeah, because Hop, after the – I mean, we assume Hop's going to play this season with the Titans, but then after that – he's going to be gone. So mm-hmm. they're going to be looking for another guy because unless Treylon Burks shows that he can be, one, available for 17 games and then not only be available but be consistent, until they see that, then, yeah, like you said, they're going to need another guy.
Yeah. And with Treylon Burks, if he turns out to be consistent mm-hmm. and reliable, great. I just can't count on it.
Yeah.
Can't put all my eggs in that basket. All right, let's get into Ask D. Mays coming up next. Get those questions in for Derek Mason. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
G-Mays. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mays.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
D-Mays.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app.
Ask D-Mays. Get those questions in for D-Mays. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a question for D-Mays, we're taking your calls and we're taking your texts. And our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So we're just touching on at the break what your Super Bowl experience was like, D-Mays. And John has a very similar question. He said, how different is the Super Bowl from other games? The buildup, extended halftime, longer commercial breaks. How difficult is it to stay focused on the game?
I think that's one of the parts that, you know, head coaches sort of like, and coaches, they dread, you know, especially in the Super Bowl, because, you know, the time from the end of the second quarter to beginning of the third quarter in the Super Bowl, it seems like an hour in between those, because they have all this stuff going on. And I think it's like an extra, because we get 15 minutes, I believe, 15 somewhere around there in a regular game. Go in, talk, and it goes by fast. The minute you go in there, you get some water, use the bathroom, come back, coach is yelling, telling, saying it, and then you're back out on the field. And then half the team, some of the guys are already out there, like the kickers and stuff, you know. But in the Super Bowl, it's like you come in, at least back then, you come in and you wait around, and you wait around, and it seems like you've been in there for 45 minutes, it seems like. I'm not sure it's that long, but that's the period of time where it's like, especially when you got, if you got momentum going, and that pretty much, you hope it doesn't shut it all down because you're in the locker room for so long. Yeah. But I'm sure coaches, you know, they find a way around that. And you know, they try their best to make sure their guys are locked in when they come back in, because I think that, like I said, I think that's probably the part that, you know, coaches do, you know, think about and stress about at times, because that period between the second and the third quarter is so long.
615-737-1025 for Ask D-Mays. One thing that John put in there was the buildup, and we were just recollecting, and Caroline didn't realize it, but there have been a couple of years in the 53 Super Bowls where there was no bye week in between.
That is crazy to me.
And that was one of them. When you guys played the Rams in Atlanta, you guys beat Jacksonville on the road in the AFC title game and basically had to go right to Atlanta. So that's a great what if. If you guys didn't have like the week to take a deep breath, prepare, and kind of bask in the celebration. You guys had to get right back into preparation.
Yeah, and it was, you know, it was just like a whirlwind. I could be a conspiracy theorist and say the league did it because they didn't, you know, think highly of Bud in a sense, but they had already thought, you know, they had already thought about that.
Oh, yeah, it was scheduled way, everybody knew that was coming.
Everybody knew it was coming. It was, you know, they scheduled that stuff way in advance. But it is, you know, the buildup is everything and some, but unfortunately for us and the Rams too, it's not just, you know, I don't think we were just affected by it. I think the Rams were affected by it as well. They didn't show it in the first half. They were rolling. but our defense, you know, held stern. It was sort of like the Baltimore game against the Chiefs when the Chiefs got out on them, and then Baltimore defense played shut down in the second half and their offense started to gear up. They just made mistakes. That's how it was for us. You know, the Rams got off on a fast note, and then all of a sudden, second half, we started running the ball. Eddie started eating up yards. Steve started making plays, and the defense just stood up even taller, and it ends up being a good game at the end of it all. Unfortunately for us, obviously, we lost it. But the buildup to it is like no other. But it's just bad that we only had a week. Both teams only had a week, you know, really 4 days to prepare for your opponent. Luckily, we played them early in the season. They, you know, and lucky for them, they played us early in the season, because had we not played each other, trying to, you know, game plan for a team you've never played is hard, especially on a week's notice, the biggest game of the year. That's tough.
What did it feel like when you're in the, like, when you're in the tunnel? Like,
oh man,
did you try to approach it like every other game? Is it possible to even tell yourself, like, this is just like any other game?
You know, for a young guy, that was my third year, I think. Yeah, it was my third year. For a young guy, I saw it a little bit different than a lot of those older guys. Mm-hmm. You know, it was, I never, and this was my fault, I never got a chance to just soak it all in, because it happened so fast. Well, those older guys, I'm sure they were soaking it all in.
And Bruce Matthews.
And you know, Jackie Harris, guys like that that have been in the league for a while. And I'm sure, you know, them walking through the tunnel, or Eddie or Steve, them walking through a tunnel, was probably a little bit different for me. For me, it was just like, okay, cool. Like, all right, it's the Super Bowl.
Can't wait to be back here.
Can't wait to be out on the field. But I'm sure for those guys, it was a little bit different, because they had been in the league for a minute. And some of the guys were coming toward the latter part of their careers. Bruce, Jackie. There were a few more guys. Was Stepnoski on that team?
No.
No, Stepnoski wasn't there. He came after. Did he come after?
He was before.
He was before.
Yeah, yeah, he was an Oiler, but never a Titan.
Yes, you're right. So, but we had some older guys on that team that hadn't experienced that. So I'm sure they looked at it a lot different than, you know, a guy going into his third year thinking like, man, we still got Eddie, we still got Steve, we got Javon, we got Blaine.
We're good.
We should be back here again. So we look. I looked at it a little bit different.
Eric is on the line with a question for D-Mace. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys, and also have a dad joke for D-Mace.
Go ahead.
You may or may not like this, and you may have heard this. Well, you know, I have had my son, you know, he's recently had a string of some real bad behavior. He recently swallowed a bunch of coins. He's better now. I can really see the change in him.
Classic.
I like the word on play.
Classic.
I like it.
Yeah. Okay. But D-Mace, my question is on the Super Bowl. One of the things, of course, everybody's talking about, of course, is the MVP on the Chiefs. Everybody's saying, obviously, MVPs would probably be Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, maybe Chris Jones. And on the 49ers, obvious MVPs would be Brock Purdy, Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, you know, Nick Bosa. Who is an MVP that you think might, for either team, win, that you would say is an unlikely MVP but could win it on Sunday? Guys, it's always good to talk to you. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Eric. Thank you, Eric.
Appreciate it. Let's go with 49ers first. Because of – listen, Kansas City is going to put a lot of – attention, and they make sure a lot of attention is geared toward Christian McCaffrey. They are now, whether you know, you can show him a lot of attention, but that doesn't mean you're going to stop him. But they're going to try to do what they can to stop Christian McCaffrey. Because me, I think he's the one. He and Deebo are the ones that truly make that offense go. Not saying that Brock Purdy isn't that dude, because he has proven he's that dude. I don't care what you say about him, he's that dude. Because look at the numbers. It show that he's one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League, at least this year. So you look at Christian McCaffrey, you look at Deebo Samuel. Those are two guys that make it go. But Ayuk is the one guy. He's like that secret ingredient, like you put in there. It's like everything is working great, but you add that Ayuk in there, and it's like, wow. Like, that tastes good. It got a, You know, to me, he could be, for the 49ers, he can be that guy. Because if you look at the last game, his big catch and then his touchdown was sort of like that propelled them. And he's a 1,000-yard receiver, but he's been sort of, I'm going to say that unsung hero or that forgotten guy. But he has been, in a sense, because when you talk about the 49ers, you first talk about Christian McCaffrey, Deebo, Bosa, and then maybe in one or two other guys. Then you get to Ayuk. But Ayuk is a damn good receiver, and he can be the John Taylor.
John Taylor was one I thought about.
Jerry Rice, yes.
Yeah, if you look through the history, I think John Taylor
I think, was the MVP. Or no, maybe Jerry Rice was the MVP, but Taylor made the touchdown catch against the Bengals. But there are some Super Bowl MVPs. You look down the list, Terry Bradshaw.
Or you can be an
John
Alvin
Elway.
Harper to a Michael Irvin.
But there's an occasional good player who's a Super Bowl MVP that just had the great game in the Super Bowl. Like, wouldn't Deion Branch win a
Super Bowl MVP for the Patriots one year? Yes.
So it's not Brady every time. Every now and then there's that one guy that's like, that guy was the Super Bowl MVP.
So to me, for San Fran, it could be Brandon Ayuk. For Kansas City, Pacheco.
Ooh.
He has the funniest running style in the world that I've seen. It mirrors Scooby-Doo and Fred Flintstone and whoever else. But he is – we look at Kansas City, we think of Mahomes, Kelce, Jones, those three guys. And they got some hell of a players on the defensive side of the ball. But no one really understands that that Pacheco is – it's like he's that guy that once he gets going, it opens up everything else for everybody else. And it's not just from the backfield. He can catch passes out the backfield. He's like that X factor that you need in a game because you know your big players, Kelce is going to show up. Mahomes is going to show up. Chris Jones is going to show up. So those three guys we know are going to show up. But who's going to be the X factor? I think Pacheco could be the X factor in this. I think he can be a guy that – you know, based upon how this game goes, because Kansas City wants to run the football, and he could end up being the MVP.
Okay, hear me out. I know this sounds crazy.
Uh-huh.
Do you think a dark horse MVP candidate if the 49ers win is Brock Purdy?
I don't think it's a dark horse. I mean, a lot of people would try to frame it as that.
Right. Like, I understand he's a quarterback.
But look at the numbers.
But nobody believes that he is the one that makes that team tick.
But look at the numbers. And I saw something on, I think it was one of the social media sites, and they were talking, you know, well, Brock, because it was in lieu of what Cam Newton said, well, do you trust Brock Purdy? He said, no, I trust Ayuk. I trust this. I get it.
Cam.
But – it takes somebody to get those players the ball. What's the kid's name in Atlanta? Ritter?
Desmond Ritter?
Desmond Ritter. He had some hell of a players too. But could he get it done?
No.
He was bad. Just because you got the dudes don't mean you can get it done from the quarterback position. That's what people got to start realizing. Just because you got the dudes don't mean you can get it done at the quarterback position. We've seen it in the NFL too many times.
Makes your job easier.
It makes it easier. But to me, Brock Purdy has done more than enough to show me that he's – if he wins the MVP, it wouldn't be a dark – it's not like a dark horse. Who's going to win it? Oh, my goodness. It's Brock Purdy. No. If San Fran wins it, I think he will be named the MVP unless, you know, CMC has a monster game or Debo has a monster game. But if everything is equal, Brock Purdy's winning it. Why? Because I got to distribute the ball to all of y'all. He did it in an NFC Championship game in the second half. That wasn't what he did. Wasn't a fluke. It wasn't what he did in the second half. Played horrible in the first half. I get you. He did. Patrick Mahomes played great in the first half and bad in the second half. What he did in the second half of that game, those plays that he made, his running of football, you got this dude is not a dark horse anything. If he wins it, it's because he deserves to win it.
I didn't know he could do that. What he did with his legs
in
the NFC Championship game, my goodness, it was impressive.
Yeah.
We'll get back into your questions for D. Mace coming up next. Caroline Willie, D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Ask D. Mays. Get those questions in for D. Mays. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. D. Mays?
Yep.
Let's get into it. One texter texts in. Says, I heard people yesterday on Stillman's show saying that Will Levis sounded very cocky in his interview. I didn't get that vibe from him. He seemed more like a confident person. What was your opinion on Levis's attitude?
I didn't see anything wrong with it. You know, people, there's a very, very fine line between cockiness, arrogance, or confidence. There's a fine line. And in this sport, you got to have a little bit of both. And I think Will Levis has a little bit of both. But I didn't take away from it and said, oh, this guy's arrogant and cocky. I think he's confident in what he – and he should be. He's the quarterback of this team, of a national football team. You should be confident in your abilities to go out there and deliver the football to your playmakers or guys on your team. You should be confident. I don't want to hit. I don't want him to get up there and shrink. And that's I think sometimes we shrink our athletes, men or women, boy or girl. We shrink them and say, "Oh, you got to be humble." And then sometimes, if you say that enough to an individual, they start to shrink as a player or a person. Let that person be who they're going to be. They will find, if they play long enough, you will find that happy medium between confidence and cockiness or arrogance. I don't know a damn good player or great player that wasn't arrogant at times, but they were also confident in what they were doing or what they could do out there on the field. So I think Will Levis is a confident individual. I think he has some cockiness and arrogance to him, but that's okay. You should have it. I want you to have it.
Part of what makes him pretty good.
Exactly. I'm pretty sure Tom Brady was cocky and arrogant and confident all rolled in one. Tom, same thing. Jerry Rice, same thing. You know, guys that just made it into the Hall of Fame, those guys, they had all three of those things rolled up in one. I'm sure they did. But, you know, they knew the balance between it, you know, between all three of them. And, you know, Will, it's the same, and he's going to continue to learn. But I didn't, you know, walk away from that interview saying, oh, my goodness, this guy is just cocky and arrogant. No, he's confident in what he does, and he should be.
And I didn't get that vibe from the interview. If you feel that way about Will Levis, mm-hmm. then I think anything that he says or does is going to make you think that he's cocky just because mm-hmm. you already have that preconceived notion that he is cocky or arrogant.
Because he's a good ping pong player? We had one text who said, do you think he should compete for USA in the Olympic for ping pong?
Hey, if he can do it, then do it after your career is over.
Have y'all seen the video? I'm not kidding. He has a good little swing at it. It's
Forrest Gump. Could he take down Gump?
Yeah.
No, I don't think anybody can take down Gump.
I don't
know. Pretty good.
Not that good.
No expression whatsoever.
Right. Just see the video. That's all I say.
Pretty darn good Texas Hold'em player, too.
Yeah.
Apparently.
There we go.
He's a man of many talents.
What can't he do? What did you think about it, Willie? What did you think about it? Did you get that vibe from his interview yesterday?
It didn't change what I have seen from him from the start, right? I do think the whole experience last year at draft time was humbling for him.
Yes.
And I think he learned some stuff from there. Mm-hmm. So I do think I think you're right. You don't want to throw a blanket over somebody that's got a little bit of something. Mm-hmm. You know, where you get that burning, yeah, I'm good. Let me show you. I'm good. And you want to just balance it out, right? But you don't want to suppress that.
Exactly.
So that's what I see. I think it's just sort of harnessing and learning. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's good to have, you know, you always say, you know, does the guy have the dog in him? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think he believes he does.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't think I could question that.
Yeah.
Especially seeing him go full on Incredible Hulk mode on the sidelines in Miami. Like, yeah, that was dog in him.
Yeah. And I think the other element is you might have it inside you. Uh-huh. But what do you want to show in an interview,
exactly.
right, to the public? Because you can get burned if you go, yeah, we're going to win. You know, like if you come across too much like that and you get humbled, then it gets used against you. So it's good to have
right.
it, though.
You can turn it on and off, mm-hmm. and you can turn it on when you need to.
And is it false bravado? Like
yeah.
That's another thing that you check over time. Can you back up when you, even if you believe you're good, are you backing it up?
Yeah. Another text in says, D-Mace, of Marvin Harrison Jr., Rome Odunze, and Malik Nabers, who's your favorite receiver in this draft?
Just right off the top, because I haven't gotten an opportunity. I usually, right after the Super Bowl, I kind of go over the receivers. From what I've seen, I think Odunze is going to be a really good receiver. I think Nabers is as well. If I had to rank them, it would be Marvin Harrison, Nabers, and then the Odunze. It's just something about the Pac-12, like, or Pac, whatever it is now. it's
defense
just,
is not the same.
Yeah, exactly. The defenses are not the same. And I just need to see you in an uncomfortable position. Like, I need to see you on a field when someone's in your grill. Like, I want to see you play. That's why I got to go back and watch. Even though I think he had a good game versus Michigan, I need to go back and watch that Michigan game. See how did they play him? Because I remember a few years ago.
Odunze?
Yeah.
They played
yeah,
Texas.
Yeah, so is Texas. Mm-hmm. I want to see how he played in that game. Because, you know, sometimes opponents, like had they played Alabama, Nick's going to get in your face. He's going to press. He's going to get in your face. And then you got to show either you got dog in you or you're just a little puppy that pretends to be a dog, you know. And then when the big fella step up, you kind of shrink back, kind of get behind them. I want to see which one. So I didn't see that. But for Marvin Harrison, I just think he and Neighbors played in a tougher conference in a sense. Obviously, the SEC, it speaks for itself when it comes to defenses and defensive backs. But I just think Marvin, he has the pedigree. Two, he doesn't call for any fanfare or anything. He just goes out there and does his job. And even when you know he's getting the ball, because at one point he was really the only receiver, you know, because that one of their guys, one of their big name guys was hurt. Mm-hmm. He was really the only guy that they had to go to in the passing game. And he still blitz teams. No matter what you do, he still find a way to get the ball, score touchdowns. And you don't see that too many times when everybody is locked in on you. A lot of times guys shrink or guys can't find a way to get open or they get frustrated. And that just throws them off their game. He's a guy that I look at just like his dad. You can't frustrate him. No matter what you do, he's one of those guys. It's just like even keel. You may jam me up at the line of scrimmage. You may throw me off my route this play, but it's not going to bother me. I'm going to come back out. I'm going to do my job. That's how he presents himself to be. Like, nothing is too big for him. I don't know about that about Neighbors. I don't know about that when it comes to Odunze. I'm going to watch more film of those two. But if I had to rank them now, because I've seen so much of Marvin Harrison, I would rank him one, Neighbors two, and then Odunze three. But it's close. All of them are sort of in that same ballpark. But it, to me, it's just Marvin Harrison is one.
They're all so good.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. all kind of for different reasons.
Exactly.
Different type of receivers. All right. Appreciate all of your participation in Ask D. Mace. Coming up next, it feels like every year, whatever happens in the Super Bowl, whatever result either resets a narrative, changes a narrative, solidifies a narrative. So we'll get into those narratives, specifically around the quarterbacks, and we'll do that coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, tune into 102.5 The Game tomorrow as Vanderbilt men's basketball takes on South Carolina on the road. Pregame at 11:30 a.m., tip-off at noon, with coverage also available on 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.